Get our sound booth going tonight for our final hymn. Let's stand and open up to 126. William Cowper wrote the incredible words to "There is a fountain. It's filled with blood. It's drawn from the veins of God." And it's so powerful that it cleanses sin forever. Wow. 126, first, second, and fourth. And we'll stand and sing it to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all. Sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all the guilty stains. Dying thief, rejoice to see that found. Singing tonight, folks. Please be seated. What a blessing to know that that blood was shed for you and I, and that through it we have eternal redemption from sin. Wow. What a savior. Ooh, boy, oh boy. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. And of course, we're back in the book of Psalms for our Wednesday night study in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. And as we continue on, verse by verse, through this incredible passage of Scripture, Psalm 119, all but two verses of the 176 are directly speaking of the Word of God in one way or another. Amen? Amen. There are 10 specific phrases in the Psalm that speak of the Word of God. For instance, precepts, statutes, judgments, testimonies, word. All these refer to one and the same thing, the Word of God. Exposition of Psalm 119. We'll pick it up tonight in verse 25. Verse 25. Look with me in Psalm 119, beloved. We'll get right to it. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible portion of the Bible tonight in Psalm 119. Lord, how we thank you that its truths are eternal. How we thank you that we can glean these truths and apply them to our daily lives in practical godliness, in sanctification through the Spirit of Christ from within. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, for the power of His Holy Spirit that you've placed within us, O God, to obey your word and to walk in the Spirit and to put a smile on our Father's face. O Lord, we just love you tonight, and we love this holy book. We can't get enough of it, Lord. So bless your word by your Holy Spirit. Enlighten our eyes and show us the glorious truths contained herein in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Beloved, tonight we come to the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That is Daleth. Daleth. Meaning that every verse of this section, all eight verses, begins with the Hebrew letter Daleth, making for easy memorization of the Masoretic text, the original Hebrew. Now, let's examine tonight a number of things. First, observe with me David's despising of the flesh. Look with me at verse 25. David's despising of the flesh. David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Wow. Think with me, church. Beloved, David understood, like every true believer does, that his soul was tied to his physical body and unable to escape it until death. And every true believer feels this burden daily. My soul clingeth to the dust. What dust? Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. What is David specifically speaking of here? In Genesis chapter 3, David understood the Old Testament scriptures. He had the Spirit of God revealing to him the Psalms. And in Genesis chapter 3, God has made Adam and Eve. Tells them to be fruitful and multiply. And look with me in chapter 3 of Genesis, in verse, now they've sinned. And he's passing sentence on them. Physical death was the penalty for sin, remember? 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now notice here that God tells Adam that his physical body, not his soul, was made of dust, the ground of the earth. And so is yours. Did you know that scientists will tell you that the very same 16 elements that are contained in dirt are contained in you. The same exact 16 elements make up the human body. That's because the Bible is so far ahead of science, it ain't funny. God told us that we were made out of the dust of the ground. We already knew that. Paul complained that he carried about this body of death with him, and that when he would do good, evil was present with him. Listen, church, the Adamic nature of the flesh is a great burden to every sanctified soul. And like David, we long for the day when we will be forever freed from it, either by rapture or by death. I am so glad that this dust is going to disintegrate one day, and I'll get a brand new one that can't be destroyed. Oh, that's such good stuff. David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust in an inescapable bond. Secondly tonight, notice the divine remedy for overcoming the flesh. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, beloved, listen carefully here. This is the divine key for every Christian in daily victory over the flesh. Notice the word quicken thou me in verse 25. Now, the Hebrew word here for quicken is chaya. Chaya means to preserve alive, to give life to. Now realize, beloved, that without the quickening power of God within us, we all would be in bondage to the fleshly appetites of the physical body. We'd have no way of overcoming temptation. We'd have no way of overcoming the passions of the flesh. But because of the quickening power of God's Holy Spirit, we have victory. Amen. Because of the Holy Spirit. That gives all the glory to God, not to you. Oh yeah, victory's awesome. I love walking in the Spirit. I love being sanctified. But it's all because of the Holy Spirit, not because of Bob Oliver. Go to verse 37. Someone read that for us.
Turn away my eyes from the whole divinity and quicken thou me in thy way.
Ooh, I love that prayer. Lord, first of all, keep me from the vanities of this evil world. Second of all, quicken me. Make me alive, look at it, verse 37, in thy way. He says, that's where I want to live, in thy ways, O Lord. This great peace and joy. Verse 40, someone.
Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness.
Ooh! Quicken me. Make me alive in thy righteousness, Lord, that I live a righteous life. Verse 88, someone. Oh, I love that verse. David writes, prays, quicken me after thy loving kindness. You know what will keep you going? The love of God.
Amen.
The kindness and the love of our God. 93, someone.
I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened
me. Oh, did you catch that? David says, the word of God made me alive.
Yeah.
It quickened me. You know how you got born again? By the word of truth. He begat them. There we go. Light. Praise the Lord. We've got the light of the living. But that is such a beautiful verse. With the precepts of God, the word of God, thou hast quickened me. Oh, that's great stuff. 107, someone.
I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word.
Here we see the afflictions of the believer. The trials, the heartaches. And he says, but quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Thy word, O God, is very pure. I love it. Thirdly tonight, back to our text. Observe David's confession before God. He makes a confession in verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Notice in verse 26 that David didn't cover up his sin. He didn't try to sweep it under the rug. He didn't try to hide it from God, because you can't hide from God.
Amen.
Instead, he confessed to the Lord. You know what God wants from you and me? Sinless perfection. No. You can't get that till you get a glorified body up in heaven. What he wants from you is honesty. You know what the problem with too many Christians is today? They sin and they don't confess it. If you sin and you don't make that right with God, you're going to become in a state of bondage to that sin. Instead of overcoming it, it'll overcome you. The first step to overcoming sin is confessing it. Look at this. David makes confession before God. Hear David's heart here, beloved. Do you know what the difference between Saul and David was? David knew how to repent. David knew how to confess his sin to God. He had a tender heart towards sin. He hated it. Saul, on the other hand, said, I didn't sin. Not me, no. Pride was his downfall. Saul was not penitent. David was extremely sensitive to offending God. And when he did, he confessed that and make that right. Go to Psalm 51. Hold your place. We're coming right back. In Psalm 51, this is a powerful passage. One of the penitential psalms. There's 12 penitential psalms in the scripture here. In verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Look at it. According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. He hated it. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He says, Lord, if you chasten me, and he would. Boy, did David get chastened. Wow. He paid for a couple of generations for his sin with Bathsheba. But he says, God is absolutely righteous in judging me. That's chastening me, punishing me. But you know what, folks? Paul said that if we would judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians 11, down around verse 28, we should not be judged. But, 29, but when we are chastened of the Lord, see, that's if you don't confess your sin, he's going to punish you. But if you confess it, guess what? He washes it, he forgives it, he pardons it. And that's what David understood that he needed. David didn't cover up and hide his sin from God. You can't. But fourthly, notice the psalmist's sincere desire to do right. Not only did he have a tender heart towards sin, but he had a sincere desire to do right. Look at it. Verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Folks, it's not enough for us to be sorry for sin. We have to have a sincere desire to learn God's statutes, his words, his ways. Amen?
Amen.
He says, not only do I want to be forgiven, but I want to learn how to do right. I want to do right, Lord. I don't want to do wrong. Paul said, I hate that which I do, which I allow not. And that which I would, I don't do. You know, Paul was not schizophrenic. He did not have a split personality. He had flesh, just like you do. Now, this is powerful. I'm so thankful, brethren. Here is a sure sign of a converted soul. He or she truly desires to live according to God's holy word, even though he or she may not always live up to that goal. Amen? Look at it. Verse 26. In verse 26. Teach me thy statute. David says, I need learning. I need learning. Yeah. This generation we have today, beloved, is scary because they need spiritual learning from God and they're not getting it. Go to verse 106. Look with me at verse 106. David says, I have sworn and I will perform it. What, David? That I will keep thy righteous judgments. David was sincere. When he said, Lord, teach me your statutes, he meant it. He said, because I want to obey them. I want to do them. I want to put a smile on your face, Lord. Fifthly, tonight, back in our text, observe David's prayer for wisdom. Look at verse 27. A prayer for wisdom. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Now, listen carefully, church. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. One may have great knowledge of the Bible, but not have any wisdom at all on how to apply it to his or her daily life. You can have all the knowledge in the world It won't help you a bit without God's wisdom to apply it.
Amen.
They're different. Now, look at the words, understand the way of. Understand the way of. This means he wanted to understand for real the way of personal application of God's words to his life. Okay? Look at verse 14. In verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Folks, listen to me. There's only two ways a human being can go. The way of the world, which is the way of the devil, or the ways of God, which is the way of righteousness. Go with me to verse 30. Someone read me verse 30. Oh, this is good.
I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me.
Notice, David says, I have chosen the way of truth. It's a choice. Your will is still active, child of God. Don't listen to Calvinists.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision. You know why you're in church tonight?
Because the Lord loves you.
That's because you said, I'm coming to church tonight. You made a decision to get shower and get dressed and come here tonight. That's an act of the will. And God will bless that act of the will. He says, I have chosen the way of thy truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. 32, someone.
I will return the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
Ooh, 33.
I will run.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end.
Wow. David says, Lord, when you teach me your ways, I'm going to keep it to the end of my life. Folks, listen to me. That must be the resolution of our hearts and souls before God. Because the devil is looking for some little inlet in your life where he can squeeze in there and mess you up. He's like leaven. He wants to leaven the whole lump. And this is why we need to be sincere and we need to desire God's ways above all others. Now, sixthly, notice David's resolution to tell others about his wonderful Savior. Look at verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. David says, Lord, there's one thing I want to do. I want to tell others about you. I want to tell them how wonderful you are. I want to tell them about the wonderful miracles you've performed in my life. I want them to know how great my God is. Oh, beloved, listen carefully. There is a difference. He wanted to tell others about his Savior. Here is the king's intention, to testify of all that God had done for him to the world. Listen, we can talk of God's redeeming love when we ourselves understand the way of his precepts and consistently walk in that way. Amen? In other words, when you're living the life, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're pleasing God. You have daily victory and practical godliness going on. Folks are going to know it, and you'll have opportunity to tell them why.
Yes,
it's all about your God. It's all about your Savior. Amen? Go to Psalm 26. Hold your place again. Psalm 26. Powerful verse. Look at verse 7. David says, verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. David says, Lord, I want to tell the world how great you are. This is the heart's desire of every true believer. Now, we fail in this area. We all fail in this area. Has there ever been a time where God told you to talk to somebody? Whether it was in an elevator, in a restaurant, at Walmart, at work, wherever it might be, and you didn't, you got intimidated. My hand is up.
Yeah.
Many times this happened to me. And later on, I kick myself in my spiritual butt and say, why didn't I open my mouth? Why didn't I give him a gospel tract? Why didn't I say something? That's the enemy preventing us. But we want to tell them, amen? And the courage and the boldness grows as we grow in grace. Psalm 48. David wanted to tell the whole wide world how great God was. In Psalm 48, look at verse 12. Verse 12, walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Oh, folks, if there's one area that we need to be faithful in, it's in telling the generation following the glory of God. There's only one thing you can give your kids. Oh, yeah, you know, wife and I got the life insurance and we got the kids' names there in case, God forbid, anything happened to Miriam and I. They'd have finances, sure. But that's not what you want to leave them. You want to leave them your faith. You want them to inherit the faith of mom and dad. You want them to inherit the love of Jesus Christ supremely. And he says, you've got to tell them about my wondrous works. Seventhly, back to our text, observe David's honesty before God. His honesty before God. 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Wow. He was honest. He was going through a terrible time. Now, folks, David is carrying a heavy burden here. I don't know if it's when Absalom was after him or Saul. It's definitely not Saul, but it's probably later on. And he likens his heaviness to a burning candle where the flame is melting down the wax and wasting away the last few drops. Look at it. Verse 28. My soul what?
Melteth.
The Hebrew is droppeth. My soul melteth. It drops like a drip. For heaviness. Now, church, we all carry burdens and heartaches as part of the Christian life. But we must learn to bring them to the Lord. Notice the word melteth. The Hebrew word here is delaf. Delaf means to drip, drop, leak, or weep. To drip, drop, leak, or weep. That's what it means. And sometimes our souls do that. Sometimes we weep, right? Sometimes we leak. Sometimes we drip. But we, regardless of the trial, he's saying, I have a heavy burden. Go to Job. Hold your place again. Just before Psalms, go to Job chapter 16. Did Job have a heavy burden? Oh, yeah. And Job was a righteous man. We know that. Look in verse 20. Job 16, verse 20. My friends scorn me. That's not very good friends. But mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Unto God. Listen, the Bible says he holdeth our tears in a bottle. Amen? When you weep, when you have a heavy burden you're going through and you don't have any strength, God is there. God knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through because he was one of us. And he went through it all alone.
Amen.
All the disciples forsook him and fled. Yeah. Amen. And he bore the burden and the heat of the day on that cross alone. There was none with me to uphold, he said. He bore it for you. And he knows how to bear your burdens today. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He knows how to bear our burdens today. Something else. Notice David's source of strength. Verse 28 again. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Folks, if there's anything I need you to hear tonight, it's this. No matter what you're going through, your strength is of another world. Your strength is of God. Your strength is not of anything in this world. Now listen carefully. Here is the key, brethren, to the believer's source of strength. The word of God. Amen. Look at it. 28. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now here's what you have to grasp here. The word of God is your most prized possession. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you've been quickened from the dead. You're born again. You're alive spiritually. The Holy Spirit will use this book to strengthen you in your daily life. Amen. This Time magazine won't help. Dr. Drew can't help. Oprah, forget it. You need these words applied to your heart and soul by the Holy Spirit. Amen. David says, Lord, I want to be strengthened, but there's only one way I can be. According to thy word. That's a powerful book right there. You're listening to a man that knows personally the power of that book. Because you wouldn't want to know me before I got saved. You can ask my wife. She did. She'll tell you real quick my dirty laundry list. But folks, He saved me from it. His word keeps me from it. His word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. We charge hell with this book. We overcome the flesh with this book. We overcome sin. That's the power of this book. That's the power of this book. We can in no way take credit for any victory. It's because of this word that we have victory. Glory to God. Psalm 27. Quickly. So almost done. Psalm 27. Look with me. Whoever gets there first, read me verse 14.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Ooh. Who shall strengthen you? Oh, yeah, the Lord. Twice he says it in there. The Lord will strengthen you by his word and by his spirit. Oh, folks, this is so good. Psalm 68. Whoever gets there first, read us verse 28.
Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us.
Wow. Straight from the Lord, your strength. He commands it. He commands your strength and it is done. Glory to God. Psalm 31. Flip back to Psalm 31. Someone read us verse 24.
Thou art my
31:24.
Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope on the Lord.
Oh, I love that. Be of good courage. Don't fear. Just trust in the Lord, and he will what? Strengthen your heart. I'm so glad that I've got a God that loves me enough to personally strengthen me, to personally enable me. Oh, he's so wonderful, folks. But ninthly, notice David's prayer for divine surgery. Yes, a prayer for divine surgery. Look with me at verse 29, Psalm 119. Remove from me the way of lying. You know what he's doing? He's praying for divine surgery. Oh yeah, the Lord showed me some stuff this week. Beloved, you and I, like David, need to pray and ask God to remove, spiritually, surgically, from our hearts and lives, whatever may be displeasing to him. Why? Go to Revelation chapter 4. I want to show you why we need to pray that prayer like David did. If there's something that troubles you, something that wants to overcome you, pray to the Lord to remove it. He will, by his grace. Look at chapter 4 of Revelation. Don't miss this. Verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and for thy what?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. They are and were created. Now, let's go back to our psalm. And look at this, verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Why? Because I was created for his pleasure, not mine. Oh, wow. This is completely contrary to the world's philosophy. Me, myself, and I. Get all the gusto you can. Live it up while you eat, drink, and party. For tomorrow we die. No. No. We live to please God. We live for his pleasure. We are literally made to please him.
Amen.
But without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we need to live by faith. So David says in verse 29, Lord, remove from me the way of lying. Now, David had a problem with lying. You know, in the Old Testament, David, he lied before Abimelech, you know, between the king of the Philistines, and he pretended he was like psycho when he really wasn't. And it worked, you know. When he says, who's this madman? Get him out of my sight. You know, he lied. He lied about Bathsheba, you know. With Uriah the Hittite. David had a problem. But David praised Lord, remove that from me. I don't want to be that way no more. Amen. Perform spiritual surgery on me and take it out of my heart. Tenthly, observe David's choice and determination. Verse 30, quickly. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. This is David's choice and determination. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. Have you determined that in your daily life, you're going to live and operate under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit in the way of his holy word? Look at, David says in verse 30, I have chosen, first I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. First he says what he chose, and then he says how he's going to accomplish it. By laying God's judgments, that's another word for his, the Bible, his word, before me. If I lay God's word before me, it shows me how to walk. Amen, and how to operate. Verse 173. 173. David prays, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. See? It's a choice and it's a determination that we make as God's children. You, let me make a statement. Oh, I'm going to get letters on this one. You can be a child of God. You can be saved and go to heaven and not make this choice and this determination. Because salvation is a gift. Eternal life is free. He gives it to you. This is for those who want to be disciples, not just Christians. Amen? David says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I don't want to vary from your word, Lord. Now, something else. Observe the need for faithful adherence. 31. I have what?
Stuck.
Unto you're super glue. Super glue makes things stick. If you put it on your fingers, you won't be able to get them apart. Dangerous. Dangerous stuff, but it makes it stick, right? I have stuck under thy testimonies, thy word. O Lord, put me not to shame. Now, church, here we need to have an unchanging affection and an unshaken resolution at all times and under all conditions to stick to this holy book right here and to make it the rule and guide of our daily lives. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, we read, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. 15. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. It goes on and on and on about David making God's word what he would stick to. And he would stick to it daily. 12, notice David's dependence on God's grace. 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, in closing, I want you to see something here. David's dependence was completely on the grace of God, not on the arm of flesh. Look what he says, verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. Is David boasting? No. He's not prideful and bragging. Finish the verse. When thou shalt enlarge mine heart. You see the catch? Indeed, beloved, in closing out this section, the psalmist clearly reveals the key in walking with God and living a life of true holiness and sanctification before him. That is only by his glorious grace. Listen carefully, church. Our God, by his Spirit, enlarges our hearts when he gives us strength by grace to do his will. The only reason you're able to do what you do for God is because of his enlarging of your heart by his grace. It's a beautiful thing. Listen. This amazing grace is dispensed by God through his Son. That means without his Son, nobody can have it, right? By his Spirit. It's dispensed by the Father through his Son by his Spirit. Now, you have to have all three in order to have this grace, is what I'm saying. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll finish up. In 1 Corinthians, this amazing grace whereby we walk in our Christian lives, it's immeasurable. And chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, look at verse 10. Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul says, anything that gets accomplished in my life is due to one thing, the grace of God, not me. Now, go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, look at verse 7. Paul says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, by the effectual working of his power. See that, folks? The key to victory in the Christian life is the power of God, not our own. It was by His grace given unto me, by the effectual working of His power. Who is that power in you? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, one final one will be done. Colossians. Flip over to Colossians chapter 1. We'll finish up here. In Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. I love this text. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Paul says you must be strengthened with all might by His glorious power. Then you'll get something done for God. Amen? Amen. It's actually the exchanged life that Hannah Whitehall Smith. Yes, Hannah Whitehall Smith. She wrote that book, The Exchanged Life. And she worded it in different ways, but it all came down to Jesus Christ living His life through you, the life that you could not live. Isn't that beautiful? Back to our text, we'll finish up with verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge mine heart. So, brethren, let's be like David and allow our wonderful Father to have His way in our lives. Father in heaven, how we thank You tonight for Jesus Christ our Savior. How we thank You for dispensing and bestowing His Holy Spirit within us. And how we thank You, Lord, for this holy book, the Word of God. It is truly our strength. I'm so thankful, Lord, that with the Word of God, we're able to overcome the devil. We're able to overcome sin. We're able to overcome the world. All because of Thy mighty Word. Lord, I thank You that You do enlarge our hearts, enabling us to run the way of Thy commandments. How we praise You for that tonight, Lord, because it's all by grace. All the glory goes to Thee. And we thank You for it tonight in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time for a closing hymn just prior to the prayer meeting. Let's open up to 161. Hymn 161. And we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Let's stand.
Time I tell it more.
you, Lord, for unconditional love. That's what we have, church. Amen. Going to ask Brother Dave to dismiss us in prayer. And for those of you who can stay for the prayer meeting, we're going to pair up tonight. Two by two. Dave?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the service. And we thank you for your unconditional love, your forgiveness. And we just ask you to continue to guide us and watch over the ones that are in need of your love. And just get us home safely tonight. Back on Sunday, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.